The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Your Money with David Hayes. Here we sit halfway through the month of July. It's hard to believe 4th of July is now in our rearview mirror, and we're looking forward to, hopefully, a really great second half of the year. Personally, right? Professionally, and hopefully in the markets also. Let's do a little news of the week, giving you some perspective on things, brought to you, of course, by the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance over at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And Kenny Bland Auctions. You know, I just ran into someone last night who was cleaning their mother's condo out, and I'm like, is there anything of value in there? And he was going through things. I said, you know what, just call Dirk Bland over at Kenny Bland Auctions. He can come sift through things, tell you what he can sell, tell you what you should take to Goodwill and what you should take to the dump. So visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor specializing in generators like mine and solar arrays, which I do not have, although they would have probably paid off this month. Veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician. Call them at 812-361-3604 or find them on Facebook. All right, so let's take a little look back. Now, let's take a look at the S&P 500, right? We're down almost 20% for the year, but if you back up and say from June 30th of last year to June 30th of this year, the total return of the S&P was down 10%. Now, if you go back 3 years, it's up 10.6% per year. If you go back the last 5 years, it's up 11.3% per year. That includes what we're going through right now. And the last 10 years, up 13%. So, yeah, we're down, but take a wider lens and say, but what have I done the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? It's still a pretty good deal. But what about when the S&P is down more than that? Well, the S&P was down, like I said, 10.6% for the last, last year, rolling year from June to June. But in it's the 40th time in the last 400 months that the index has been down at least double digits on a trailing one-year basis, like May to May, June to June. In the previous 39 times where the index has been down 10% for a rolling 12-month period, it has returned 4.2% over the next 12 months. Now, the S&P, if it's down at least 20% for the trailing year at the end of 20 months, in the last 400 months, so I know it's a little bit confusing, but in the last 20 times the market's been down at least 20% for a 12-month period of time, the next 12 months, we've seen a gain of over 17%. So here we sit, right? The market's down 10% trailing 12 months, down almost 20% for this year. So hopefully the next 12 months brings some of the numbers that the previous 39 and 20 months have brought. We'll see. The NASDAQ has been hammered down 29%, almost 30%. Now, we've had a few people up. 13 of the top 14 year-to-date performers in the S&P are oil and gas companies, with the performance ranging from plus 24% up to 103% year-to-date. The cost of money, right, is going up. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note nearly doubled. And this is why I've been telling folks we've never seen this before. We've never seen this before. The yield on the 10-year Treasury doubled after the first 6 months of this year, going from 1.496 to 2.973 as of the close of trading at the end of June. Over the last 60 years, the yield on the 10-year has never doubled over the course of an entire year, let alone 6 months. And that's why the bond index, The aggregate bond index is down over 10% year to date because we've had a massive run up in interest rates, which caused your bond values to go down. All right, let's talk about inflation. If you were born back in 1941, by the time you turned 40, you had been through nine years total with at least 7% inflation. If you were born in 81, by the time you turned 40, you'd lived through 1 year with at least 7% inflation. What year was that? 2021, which basically means for your entire life, you had never seen inflation like we see today. But if you're older, you're like, we've been there before. It's not as bad as the 70s, right? I laugh at that consumer sentiment where they say, like, it's never been lower ever since it's been recorded, and it started in 1972. And I'm like, are you kidding me? People feel worse now about the future and the economy and the government and everything else than they did in 72? Golly, you must. My theory is, and I think I said this last week, I just think people are weaker. I think their mindset's weaker. Back in the 70s, man, they were tough. 72, they were tough. Just coming out of the Vietnam War, tough, right? Now we are just soft, and I think that's why people feel bad. But anyway, that's just my opinion, and we all have one, and they all stink. All right, let's talk about minimum wage. I almost laughed when I saw this because I'm like, someone said, what's the minimum wage now? I don't even have a clue because no one would go to work for minimum wage. And that's, of course, been the argument for decades, right, that we don't need a minimum wage. The market will dictate wages, and right now, obviously, dictating a much higher wage because the federal minimum wage has not gone up in 13 years. It's still at 7 1/4 an hour. We have 30 states that have a minimum wage above that federal level. 20 states continue to use the 7.25, which I believe Indiana is one of them, as their hourly minimum wage. But once again, who would work for that? You have cattle and cook, all everyone paying, you know, $20 an hour to get anyone to come through the door, $16 to $20. San Francisco, they require a minimum wage of $16.99 an hour, which if you've been to San Francisco in the last 5 years, you know that that is not even close to paying for their elevated prices there. What are the biggest concerns of retirees? You've always heard this, it's outliving my money. Well, they just did a recent survey in November of 2021, and only 35% of the workers interviewed said their biggest concern was outliving their money. It used to be like 10 years ago, people would say like, you know, like 70% of people, that was their biggest concern. Other concerns are, you know, health-related issues, you know, making sure the kids get on their feet on their own and we don't have to support them. So, you know, there's all kinds of other things to be concerned about. The taxes going up, right? All that stuff comes into play. Medicare premiums going up, everything. So people have more things, I guess, to be concerned about in 2021 than they did 10 years ago, I guess. All right, lastly, are they right or not? I always joke that the difference between a quack and a genius when it comes to economics is about 30 years. We have to wait that long to find out if they were right or if they were wrong. But the average response by 53 economists surveyed in June of this year puts the chance of a recession in the next 12 months, which I believe we're already in one, at 44%, up from just 18% in January of 2022. So as we will hear from Rod here shortly, you know, when you have two negative quarters of GDP, that's technically a recession. We think there could be a minor recession and then potentially a double dip recession that would come later because of the way this recession's acting. It's odd that you have contraction in the economy, but you continue to add jobs. In the 12 previous bear markets that we've been through, we have not seen that happen. It's been contraction in the economy and job loss. So we think that job losses will come later, which would cause the second recession. Now, what do you do about that? Well, hang on for the break. We'll get Hot Rod on the phone and start kicking it around. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you so much for being with us, of course, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. If you missed the live show before the Reds kick it off on Thursday night, or you can catch it on WGCLradio.com, and then after the Thursday night airing, you should be able to pick it up on your favorite place to pick up your podcast. And then also the 2025 Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win podcast, of course, is still cranking along. I just recorded one last night that will play this coming Monday, and I'll give you more on that in a bit. We have, of course, a longtime contributor to the show and the chief investment officer down at Comprehensive Financial Consultants. It's Rod Holloway. Rod, before you came on, I was trying to, once again, to widen folks' lenses a little bit because, yeah, we're down almost 20% year-to-date on the S&P. Rolling 12 months, if you go all the way back June 30th to June 30th, we're down about 10.6. But if you widen the lens a little bit, the last 3 years, we've averaged 11.3%, even with this decline. The last 5 years, we're up 13%, even with this decline. And for the last 10 years, you've averaged over the last 10 years, you've averaged over 13%. So just trying to keep things in perspective, and the fact that when we've had down times like this, the next 12 months generally turns out positive. Now, we're not predicting that, but it's in the math of past recoveries. And you and I talked about this, and this is what I want you to comment on first, because this is what I led into this segment with, is that we know we're in a recession now. When you have two quarters that will be reporting soon of negative GDP growth, you're technically in a recession. We'll probably have a third quarter negative GDP growth. But we are growing jobs, which has never happened before. In the 12 previous bear markets since the Great Depression, we've had contractions in the economy and job losses. And this is why you and I discussed the possibility of having sort of this little minor contraction or minor recession to be followed later by a deeper recession when we finally see the job losses occur. And that's the question that none of us know the answer to, but you and I discussed this in our, you know, in our door jam discussions at the office. But I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, most certainly, because it is unusual, and I understand the argument against it. The reality is a technical recession, by most definitions, is two consecutive declining, negative meaning, GDP quarters. Well, as you said, the estimate is for that to happen in the second quarter here. It hasn't been released yet. No reason to think that the estimate is going to be wrong and that it won't be. But of course, right now, the media and political pundits, because we are already in election season coming up to November, well, we want to spin the tail and say, well, guys, you really can't have a recession with such a strong jobs market. And I say that's a valid argument to a degree. Jobs are typically a lagging indicator, meaning companies don't normally say, wow, things are going really, really well. I don't think they're going to continue to go this well, so we're going to go ahead and lay people off early. You know, so you don't see a rise in unemployment before you have an official slowdown. Now, the other thing I've been talking about with Glass on his show is there may be even a greater lag this time around, because coming out of the partial lockdown during the pandemic, rehiring quality employees was very difficult for many companies in broad industry categories, not just a few select ones, but broadly it was very difficult. So if you found some high quality employees that you have hired in the last couple of years, you're not going to be quick to get rid of them just in case it's a very short, shallow recession and this soft landing that has been talked about the Fed navigating with bringing down inflation but not actually bringing demand to a grinding halt. Sounds great, but if that doesn't happen, which I wouldn't be one who would predict that's the scenario we're going to have, then eventually those companies are going to say, hey, you know what? The demand just continues to deteriorate. We don't know when there's going to be a pickup. We can just no longer continue to pay these employees that we actually have no work for. So eventually, the market will succumb to the demand or lack thereof within our economy if there isn't a change on that front. And we will eventually no longer see such a strong, robust job market, as we will start adding fewer jobs on a monthly basis and begin to see an uptick in unemployment, as I said, if demand doesn't stabilize and then slowly begin to pick up.
Well, and how does that relate to the stock market, right? Because everyone look at their 401k statements, they're like, holy crud. I mean, I've received mine in the mail, and I don't really look at it because I know what's going on. But I looked at it, and I'm like, you know, really just to feel, try to get the feelings of what people feel like when they open it up. I just sort of looked at it and thought, oh, well, you know, it is what it is, right? Because, you know, I just kind of shrugged it off and just keep going. And I think right now people are somewhat of that mindset because they've been through declines in a fairly recent time frame. You know, we talk about recency bias, you know, where your moods and motions and reactions are kind of tied to your most recent experiences? Well, it wasn't more less than 2 years ago where we saw the market value drop, 30%+, and we saw it recover in a remarkable fashion. So I think people are a little bit like, it'll be all right. It's not going to change me what I'm going to do tomorrow. But eventually, some of this stuff will catch up. Let's talk about the market. So June came number, the inflation number came in hot. Of course, the Fed talking all the time, and the market has been reacting. And of course, as we've talked about before, this has been a little bit of a unique deal. Bond market's down over 10%. But I've said this in the opening remarks, Rod, that the 10-year Treasury has doubled, and its rate has doubled in the first 6 months of the year, and that's never happened before, never. So we're sitting here looking at a bond market that's down 10%, an S&P 500 that's down 18-20%, and I think people are just kind of shrugging their shoulders like, well, I don't even know what to do about this.
Yeah, in years past when we've had these types of sell-offs and things, the bond market probably didn't sell off at the same time the stock market did. Matter of fact, it may have actually improved and got better, so you had a slight offset. Outside of the 08 financial crisis, in which basically every single asset that could decline in value did decline in value. But that was a bit of an anomaly that we hadn't seen before, and we are experiencing it again. Now, obviously not because we're in a similar situation to 08. The 08 crisis and the headwinds presented in 08 are nothing compared to what we're dealing with today as far as what the situation is and what the potential resolutions are. But the one commonality is, yeah, there has been very little place to hide this year. Through the first half of the year, or not fully half, because you probably started the weakness in mid-June or so, energy was really the only place to hide. It was up, and it was up huge. It was up almost 45% at one point year to date as far as the energy sector itself. Well, it no longer is up 45%. It is still up. It's still up 32%. So it's still a very strong market. But overall, the major indices are all down. The bond market is down. Commodities were up for a long time, but we've discussed that it's really hard for the retail investor to effectively play within the commodities market, because most of the investment vehicles provided them to do it when they can't do it themselves. And I sure wouldn't encourage any do-it-yourselfer to go out and try and trade in the futures cattle market or any of those markets. It can be quite difficult. It's hard to reap the rewards off of what you've seen within the commodity buildup, outside of potentially owning some individual companies that play in those commodities and have reaped the rewards of greater margins because of how much those things have gone up, although I'm sure their expenses went up with them as well. But yeah, it is a bit unsettling for those accounts that are balanced to conservative, that are down close to as much as the overall equity market. Our 100% equity clients, well, they expect to be down because the equity market is down. And in some circumstances, especially if you have a dividend tilt, you're probably down less than the overall broad market. So you look at it and go, I don't feel so bad. It's those more conservative portfolios, those portfolios that had a balance between stocks and bonds, hopefully to mitigate the risk and minimize the downside if the equity market did go into bear market territory, that are a little bit surprised when they get their statement and go, holy cow, where's my protection? Right. Yeah, the only decent thing for the people that own the individual bonds with set maturity dates, you at least have a date you can look at, and as long as credit quality within the backing institution is there, you know how much you're going to get paid at some point in the future, and between now and then, you also know how much interest they're going to pay you and exactly when they're going to pay you that interest. So there is an offset in which you're down on paper, but you may not always stay down on paper, and you have a known date when some of that appreciation comes back.
Yeah, I was looking at a target date 2030 fund. I mentioned this to you earlier, in a retirement account of an individual at a very big company here in town, and it was down like 17%, and there were 60-40, 60% equities, 40% bonds. Yeah, it's been a little bit challenging for folks, but I think the main thing that you need to do, folks, is just keep after it. Control the things you can control. If you have a job, keep your job, keep putting the money away. Later in the program, I'm going to talk about like a measuring stick. If you're 30 years old, how much you should have in retirement, 40, 50, 60, and then 67 at full retirement age for Social Security. So if you know you're ahead or behind, just a little measuring stick. But, you know, this is, I was talking with someone last night, you know, and you know, I'm like you, Rod. No matter where I go, whoever I'm talking to, finances, economy, markets come up. And they were saying, hey, what would you do if you're in my shoes? And I'm like, you know, what I would do is, if you can afford this, for the next 3 months, I would front load my 401k contributions. Most people level those out over the entire year. They put a little in January, February, March, April. I'm like, you know, you're halfway through the year. You're maxing out. you have the opportunity to put another $10,000 plus in. If you can afford it, put 100% on your paycheck and start knocking it in there for the next 3 months. That's one way to take advantage of a down market. You're buying cheaper. Other things would be Roth conversions. I said, if you have the opportunity to move money from taxable to tax-free, you know, you're doing it at lower asset prices. When it recovers, it will all be tax-free. That's another idea. So I was just throwing these ideas out. And you would have thought I was handing out gold bars. So there were six people at the table, and it was the old E.F. Hutton commercial where when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I'm like, for some reason, this information is pretty valuable to these people because they've all shut up and they're all listening to me at the dinner table. So, yeah, it's a time that people are paying attention. I know our doors have been swinging open with new people coming in and just saying, you know what, I haven't been doing anything. I need to do something, and what do I need to do? Because it's not all about what investments you own. I mean, that's a big part of it, but it's how you structure them. When do you need the money? You know, what the best investments are for your taxable accounts, tax-deferred and tax-free. There's a whole slew of things that need to be considered when it comes to this stuff, and we're focusing on the investment side. But more importantly, Rod, I think keeping things in perspective is good. Widening your lens is good. Knowing that the people you're listening to right now on the radio have been doing this for a really long time. We've got war wounds. You know, I started back in a recession. My first year, the U.S. went into a recession in the early 90s. We've been through a lot of things. We've been through a Russian bond default in 1998. We've been through an Asian currency crisis. We've been through the Great Recession. We've been through the 9/11 attacks. We've been through the pandemic of 2020. And we're going through something now that we've never experienced before. But these are war wounds that you can look back on and say, yeah, I know it isn't exactly this way like it was last time, but here are some comparisons that we can use to make good decisions going forward. So, Rod, I'll let you go on that. Any final comments?
Well, I'd just add to what you'd said. Number one, the advice you were given, sometimes for us in the industry, it seems like common sense and that everybody already knows it. But when you don't deal with it on a daily basis, it may not be common sense to you. So I think it's important that we always have to take a step back and continue to remind people, hey, here's the simple basic facts of wealth accumulation and building towards an objective, whether it be retirement or something else. And I think the other key in the phrases that you were saying, I think one of the most important things that people need to do a better job of analyzing, when do I need this money? Mm-hmm. Whatever the reason is, whether it's retirement, whether it's buying a vacation, whatever, when do you need it? Because if you're putting dollars you need in the next year, maybe even in the next 3 years, into stocks and thinking that, well, stocks go up more than they go down, which is true, but if you're betting on the fact that they're going to go up more than down in that short of a window, you may find yourself in a world of hurt when you go to cash out and go buy whatever those dollars are for. So that can be way more important than the exact investments you put those dollars in is the time horizon. Now, the asset class is a little more important than the specific investment. What I mean by that is just what I'm talking about. If you need the dollars in less than 3 years, the equity side of the world probably isn't where you go, and it doesn't matter whether you're buying large cap dividend payers or you're buying small cap speculative stuff in that regard. It's the asset class. It's when do I need the money? But more importantly, for you and I, Dave, in this world, we can't forget the basics and fundamentals and make the assumption that everybody already knows them. And we need to continue to convey that message to everybody, because if you will follow a very simple path and track record and not get too greedy and too fearful, by the time that objective rolls around, you will be surprised at the wealth accumulation that you have.
Let's put it this way, folks. I'm a football guy, right? You've got to have a great offense to win, but defense wins championships. Rod Holloway, thanks for being on. I know we'll listen to you on Friday on Glass in the Afternoon. Of course, we'll have you back on, I'm sure, within the next couple weeks on this show as well.
That sounds good, Dave. You have a great show.
Thanks. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, are you too old to do a Roth conversion? I hear that all the time. Oh, I'm too old for that. Think Again. I did a podcast on it this week. I'm going to give you a couple highlights. When we come back, it's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. So I had this thought, as I do when I meet with people, that, you know what, if they're asking, if they're thinking this or they're saying this to me, and I've heard it more than once, then I bet there's a lot of other people that think the same thing. So you're sitting here thinking to yourself, okay, I'm 75 years old. Should I really be even be concerned about moving my money from a taxable Roth IRA to, taxable IRA to a Roth IRA? I don't think I'm going to worry about it. Well, no, you should worry about it. Because, and I talk about this in the podcast, you're going to have to listen to it, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. It will be released on Monday night. But I hit some of the big points. I hit number one, let's talk about, are you married? Okay. Well, if you move money now and you pay it at whatever tax rate you're at, 12 or 22%, 24%, then that's a one-hit wonder. You get hit one time. Then forever it grows tax-free. And not just forever for you, but then forever for your potential spouse if you're married, right? And when you're married and one person dies, what happens? Well, you lose a check. One of the Social Security checks go bye-bye. If you have a pension, more than likely some of that goes bye-bye. And your taxes double. Everything you enjoyed as married filing joint gets cut in half. And I need more money. So what better tool to have than a Roth IRA? Then I also get into, what about your estate, your legacy? Again, a Roth IRA, when someone inherits that, they can take it out over 10 years. They can leave it in there for 10 years. So I do some math for someone, and someone that maybe retired, did a conversion at 70, they passed away, their spouse lived to 90, they passed away, never took it out because they don't have to, no required distributions. They leave it to their kids who are 60, and they then get to grow it till they're 70 to take it out. So I did some math on a one-time conversion. I said, what if you took $1 million and you said, I'm just going to convert it all today, and I'm going to pay it off at the 37%. Well, that's a one-hit wonder. You've got some other unintended consequences. The Medicare premiums go up for 1 year, all of that one time. But then it grows, and if it doubles every 10 years, it would grow from, call it $600,000 to $1.2 million to $2.4 million. Then to, you know, to $4.8 million every 10 years. So you have to think about it differently. So just saying to yourself, I'm too old to do a Roth conversion. This doesn't make any sense for me. Or I don't want to pay this huge tax bill now. Well, we know two things are going to happen, folks. We know tax rates are going up, guaranteed, and we know exactly when they're going to go up. That's January 1st of 2026. That's why we have 2025, The Final Drive, and I believe it's our final opportunity to do this. Because after 2025, tax rates are going to go up to where they were before, which doesn't, again, keep us up at night paying 39.6 versus the 37, but it's what the Congressional Budget Office continues to say year after year, where tax rates have to go. And the most recent report literally had taxes more than double where they needed to be to simply pay for the things that we've already promised, which is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt, let alone all the other things that we're trying to do. So I hope you listen to the podcast. It's on Monday night. It will be released, I think, around 6 o'clock. It's 2025, The Final Drive. If you have not subscribed yet, please go to wherever you get your podcast and press subscribe and put your alert on, because that will give you an alert that it is on. We've had well over 1,600 listeners so far, is what I was told this week. I'd like to get that to like 10,000, right? So share it. If it's meaningful to you, and again, I always say I like AAA people. I like people that have accumulated assets, because that is something we can help you with. I like attitude that's nice, people that are anxious with attitude to learn and grow, and I love advocacy. I love people that are advocates for not just themselves and their family, but for all those around you. So to be a great advocate is to share your knowledge. So if you learn something on the podcast and you think it's worth sharing, please share it. It's super easy to do. And hopefully we'll gain another listener, all right? And it's really not for me to make more money, because I don't get paid anything to do radio. I don't get paid anything to do the books. The royalties come in, we donate all that away. I don't get paid anything to do the podcast. It costs me money. It costs me time. It costs me energy. But I'm almost like a preacher, that I'm on a mission to get this message out. And I need your help, right? I need some disciples out there. I became a disciple, as I called it, David McKnight's, after I read The Power of Zero. And hopefully, you know, I became a pulpit guy for him, and I want you guys to be the disciples that spread the word. All right, let's take a quick break when we come back. Oh, gosh, I get myself off sometimes. All right, how much should you have saved for retirement? Everyone's like, hey, I'm 30, I'm 40. I'm like, how much should I have put away? I'm going to give you some basic goals and guidelines that you can follow. And then if you're behind, let's talk about how you can get caught up. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I need to work on talking slower. I apologize. That last segment, I get worked up, fired up, and I just can't hold back. But you know what? If you didn't have any passion or drive for what you do, then you might as well not do it. Hey, and we're also sitting here at One City Center with a roofing job going on, pounding up top. So if you hear what sounds like a jackhammer, it probably is. And when I came into the studio today, it looked like, you know, a waterfall had been created and it was covered up with towels and everything else. But thankfully, the equipment's working. At least I think it is. And we are here doing the show. All right. So I was thinking about my sister, right? My sister's 6 years younger than me. And so I'm 52. So therefore, she's, you know, 46. But when she turned 40, she said, how much should I have saved? You know, because she has young kids. It's hard, right? She was single at the time and just kind of like, you know, what should I have saved by this age? Well, there's actually some basic guidelines that might help you figure out if you're kind of on task or you're not on task. So I think about like age 30, because that's interesting age. If you think about maybe starting a job at 20 or 22 years old, and if you started putting 10% away, you know, right about that age, and it grew some, you know, you should have about one times your salary in your 401k by the time you're 30. So it means if you make 50 grand, by the time you're 30, it'd be nice if you had at least 50 grand in your 401k. But then it starts going up exponentially. So by age 30, we know that. By age 40, you should have about three times your annual salary. So if you're making 100 grand, you should have 300,000. By 50, you need about six times your salary. So if you make 100 grand, you need about six times that, $600,000. By 60 years old, you should have around eight times your income. So once again, if you're making 100 grand, you should have about $800,000. And if you're 67, you should have around 10 times your income. All right, so that basically gives you some guidelines. So if I'm making 100,000 and I'm 67, I should have about $1 million. All right, so that is some basic guidelines that I tell people to follow. Now, you may be ahead of that, great. You might be behind. If you're behind, what do you need to do? Well, you got to have a plan to get caught up. And that's why I talk about your day will come. You get into your 50s, right? Your kids hopefully are off the payroll. You're making the most money you've ever made. You can really start socking it away, right? Put all you can into your retirement account. Do other stuff outside the retirement account. Pay down your debts, whatever you need to do to prepare for retirement. Because going into retirement debt-free will allow you to have more freedom and maybe allow you to not have so much saved. By the time you take your Social Security and by the time you take what you can from your investments, typically you're okay if you follow these little guidelines that I just laid out. So it's interesting. So kind of figure out where you are age-wise. Ages and stages of life are big. And if you're behind, let's do what you need to do to make some catch up a little bit here, and that's to put more money away. It's the only thing you can do. Or just decide you're going to work longer. Is there anything else you can do? Maybe invest it a little more aggressively, but that may not always be the right thing to do. So like I said before, control the things you can control. That is your debt. That is how much you save, right? How long you can work. Now, we can't always control that because you may get a pink slip or you may have a health issue that kicks you out early. So there's only a couple things you can really control. All right, so hopefully that helps you because that came up more than once in the last year that how much should I have saved? And it really started with my sissy. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, just a quick review of what you heard last week with my guest, Jeff Levine. I thought that was a fantastic show. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, it was really, really good. I rarely go back and listen to shows because I don't want to be too critical of myself. You know, I have a self-esteem to keep up. But I did go back and listen to the show with Jeff, and it was outstanding. I'll be right back to kind of hit some of the highlights of that and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Actually, I have good self-esteem. It doesn't take a bad show to knock me off my rocker. Zig Ziglar once said, what you need to have good self-esteem, and I think I have all three of them. If you ever want to Google or look up what Zig used to say about self-esteem, I have pretty much tried to live my life in that manner. And I don't have time to get into the weeds on that, but if you want to Google self-esteem, Zig Ziglar, I think you'll come up with the answer. All right, so Jeff Levine was on my show last week, the Buckingham, we call him, and he also gave me a lot of great ideas. So I talked about me doing a podcast on maximizing the stepped-up cost basis between spouses. In other words, when you pass away, you inherit something at the day-to-death value, you can sell it and pay no tax. So even between spouses, this can happen. Well, that was a great idea I got from Jeff. We talked a lot about the Secure Act, Secure Act 2, kind of legislation's happening, why it's happening, what you can expect, what's changed, what's not changed. And a big part of it was how inherited retirement accounts work. Well, that was a big part of the show. We also talked about what did not change. Well, what has not changed is like qualified charitable distributions. You know, even though the age of 72 is the current RMD and it's proposed and likely to move to 75 for some, then what didn't change? Well, what did not change is I can still give to charity directly from my IRA at age 70 and a half and it not be taxable. And when I get to age 72 or 75, whatever I give to the charity as a qualified charitable distribution from my IRA, it not only is non-taxable, but it goes towards satisfying my required distribution. Every week, I probably talk about this no less than a dozen times to individual people. And every time, not every time, most times, people say, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, come on. I even had a client one time call me and say, hey, did you know you could take money from your IRA to a charity and not be taxable? I'm like, Greg, I've been saying this for ever since this happened. I mean, are you kidding me? So anyway, even people that I'm tied to closely just don't hear it. And I told someone this week too that sometimes people hear things, but they don't really hear it until it means something to them, right? I mean, people can hear me talk about Social Security, Medicare, and I'm just kind of going to blow that off right now. I don't really need to know about that. And I'll say the same thing, you know, a year later, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I had someone talk about a Roth IRA with me a week ago that's read my book, who's been a loyal listener to the show, who is a personal client. And he said to me, you know, it just clicked that after you do a Roth conversion, all that money grows tax-free. And I go, really? You just got that? Oh, man. So anyway, I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm kind of just telling you that the reason I repeat myself sometimes over and over and over is because people don't always hear it the first time. You have to hear things seven times, I've been told, to even hear it for the first time. So anyway, a lot of good stuff there with Jeff. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, just go back to the website, WGCLradio.com, or over to the podcast, and you can catch it there as well. Also, a good segment on Social Security as well. So anyway, that's about all. If you had any time on your hands to do that over the weekend, I encourage you to do so. All right, let's take another quick break. Come back. We'll wrap up this show. This is Your Money, Yes, Sir, with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. If you're listening to the show on Thursday night, well, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame will be on Friday night at the Convention Center. There is a meet and greet from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It is free to the public. The program will then start around 6:30, and you won't be able to buy tickets by the time you listen to the show because it's Thursday night, and tickets went off sale on Thursday. They can't sell them up to the gate because the Convention Center needs to know how many plates of food they need to prepare. So again, that's going to be a fun night. I will be pretty much conducting the entire event, except I get to hand it off to the Hall of Famer himself, Joe Smith, who will do the actual induction ceremony of the 10 folks coming into the Hall of Fame. I just love being part of it. It's a great evening. It sometimes can be a little long, but it's a great evening. So looking forward to that. Also, we're kicking off our classes at Ivy Tech for the fall. So we have retirement planning today, so you should be looking for something in the mail or from Ivy Tech on that soon. And then I will be doing the Taxes in Retirement workshop for Ivy Tech also in the fall. On top of that, we are doing lots of workshops through employers. So those employers that have a care for their employees, and that's what I talked about years ago, that employers need to take a more active role in being more paternalistic or maternalistic to their employees because folks don't know what they don't know. So we're doing great retirement workshops for like the MCCSC. I just talked to the new superintendent yesterday. He deeply cares about the employees and educating them on doing the right things. General Motors down in Bedford, thank you for opening up your doors to us. Cook, man, do they care about their people, unlike anyone I've ever seen. We've done it for Ivy Tech themselves. We've done it for the Board of Realtors, all again with the Ivy Tech backing. So if you are an employer and you said, you know what, I would love for my employees to be invited to a workshop like that, and it is soup to nuts. It is 2 days. Listen, it's 5 hours of commitment, and we'll do them like on Tuesday night, and then the following Tuesday night or Thursday, maybe it's all day Saturday. We've done that before as well. Your employees will love you for it. And in a time where it's so difficult to not just get good employees, but keep good employees, what better thing to do but to provide them a workshop and a path, a guide path to financial success, freedom, employees that don't have the mental stress of worrying about things because they have a plan in place, they understand what this is or what that is, are more productive employees. So this is the year that we are getting back at it. I mean, I was so excited in 2020 as we were getting ready to launch this with a bunch of people. I mean, a bunch of people. HFI was a group that was getting on board as well, and some others. I mean, I can't go through all the different great employers around Bloomington that were anxious to get their employees in front of someone that could teach them about finance, retirement planning today, right? Today, not for yesterday, not for tomorrow, but today. What do you need to do today? And they love it. It's like $39 to come to the class. You get two workbooks over 2 nights. It's great. And then you also get follow-up after the course is over. Once the course is over, there's follow-up with one of the instructors on what's going on in your world. We call them, you know, we do 20-minute calls or Zooms with everybody. And that sounds hard, and it is, but I do some of them. I have people at the office to do some of them. We're hiring new people to do some of them because this is getting so big, and we're glad to do it. So anyway, before the vid, we did classes at Ivy Tech, you know, for everybody. And now post-vid, I know it's not really post-post-vid, but it's post-vid. For me, I'm out there. We are doing it. So if you are interested at all, please contact us at cfci.us. That's cfci.us. We'll make it happen. All right. Hey, I hope everyone had a great 4th of July. I hope they had a great start to July. I hope that you're not down in the dumps about what's going on in the world and the economy, and you're just having a great summer, right? That's what we're all after. And then hopefully we'll have a second half of the year that we can talk about and be proud of. So let's take the long break. I will talk to you all next Thursday, but make sure that you check out the podcast on Monday night. I think you'll really enjoy it. About, am I too old to do a Roth? I get into some deep weeds. It's about 12, 13 minutes long, not too long. So have a great one, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.